Good morning. I'm glad you decided to worship with us, whether in person or online. Glad to have you this morning. Today is Children's Day. How many of you knew that? Shame on you. You look up the annual calendar, you'll find out today is Children's Day, the second Sunday in June. So we want to say happy Children's Day to all. How many of you consider yourself children? Jerry, don't raise your hand. Well, if you did, happy Children's Day. I want to do something this morning. I want all the kids that are 25 years and younger to stand up. Now, you got to stay seated, Jerry. That's not you, Amy. Let's all give it up for these kids. You can sit down. I want to thank you for coming. There are a lot of other places you guys could be today, but I'm glad you guys decided to serve the Lord today with us, to worship with us. So today is Children's Day, and most of the message today is going to be directed at kids, but not entirely. It's also for the adults. If you have your Bibles, turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want to focus mainly on verse 12. And with today being Children's Day, I want to talk about some of the temptations that children face. And I want to go ahead and say this because I believe that these kids are faced with more temptations than what I was when I was their age. Anybody else agree with that? It's really true. When I was a kid, we had the Sears and Roebuck catalog. And if you were lucky, you got the Montgomery Wards. And when we go through the pages, us men, we would spend too much time on the lingerie section. But then we would go on past because we'd get in trouble from our mothers. Nowadays, they have the internet. And man, it is endless, the things that you can find on the internet. A lot of them are free. Sherry and I will look out the window and there will be people parked in our driveway during the week. What are they doing? We're tapping into our internet services. That's what they're doing. We're not dumb. I don't know what they're doing out there on the internet service, but I want you to know the temptations that kids face today are overwhelming. They really are. I believe that they have things available to them today that we did not have when we were their age. And I also believe that kids do not have the attention span that we used to have. Is that true? They do not have the attention span like Jim and these kids. Their attention span is 3 minutes. So that means whether you're doing a sermon or whether you're teaching a Sunday school lesson or whether you're just talking to kids in general, you have about every 3 minutes, you got to come up with something that makes them very interested in what you're talking about. My attention span was a lot longer when I was in church. I'd have to sit in church at allegiance like we were in the military, and we would stay focused to what's going on in the sermon, and we dare not shut our eyes. Whap! We stay focused. Nowadays, kids, 3 minutes. And that's a large number. Sometimes it's 1 minute. And you teachers here today, you agree with that. You know that the attention span in these kids are a lot less than what it used to be when we were younger. But I also have an advantage this morning as we talk to these kids. I have the Word of God on my side. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is living and active, is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates, even dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The other advantage that we have at our disposal is what we call parental guides on the web. Did you know that you can sign up? Here's one example. It's called verywellfamily.com. You can get on these websites and you can download and pay a small amount of money to control what your kids watch on the internet. Did you know that? You can control the person that they call on their telephone. You can control that. You can listen in. You can see what they're viewing. Those are two great advantages that we have this morning, but the greatest advantage we have is God's Word. Because it is living, it is active, it is sharper than any double-edged sword. And even when our kids get into the Word, it touches them in a way that no one else can. The main scripture this morning is 1 Timothy 4:12. It's written from the Apostle Paul to a young Timothy. And this is what he says. Do not let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in your speech, in your life, in your love, in your faith, and in your purity. When Paul wrote these words to Timothy, Timothy was probably around 19 or 20 years old. And even though Timothy was well versed in the scriptures, he learned from his mother and his grandmother. They were faithful. But do you hear much from his father or his grandfather? No. And even though he was well versed, he had a father that was probably dysfunctional. He was probably a non-believer. Matter of fact, the Bible even says he was a Greek, probably an unbeliever. Timothy also struggled with being timid. What's it mean to be timid? How many of you are timid this morning? You may not believe this, but I'm a little timid sometimes. And believe it or not, sometimes it's an effort for me to get up even to preach to you guys. Because when I was young, I struggled with timidity. I know you're having a hard time believing that, but it's true. But Paul says, don't do that. Don't let people look down on you because you're young. Don't let people look down on you because you're timid. You struggle. You have insecurities in your life. And in 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul tells Timothy to not only resist the temptations of his youth, but resist the temptations of being timid as well. So this morning, I want us to take a close look at the advice that Paul gives to Timothy. If you're taking notes, I want you to write down some examples that our young kids could set for the people around them. First of all, Paul says, set an example in your speech. As you become older, I am convinced that it is more increasingly tempting to use foul language. Do any adults agree with that? When I was in sports, there was foul language. When I started working at Champion Laboratories, yes, there was foul language. As a matter of fact, when I first started working at Champ in 1985, I was blushed to hear some of the words that came out of the people that I work with. I was also blushed to find out some of the words that came out of people that professed to be Christians in the workplace. But I also want you to know that when you get out of high school, it doesn't get any easier. It doesn't. As a matter of fact, I believe it gets harder and harder. And as you get older and older, how many of you older people would admit that you have problems with letting a word slip from here from time to time? Both of you? I know there's more than that. But here's the deal, and this is what I want you to remember. As you get older, Satan realizes he doesn't have very much time with you. And he's going to do his very best to get you to mess up. He wants you to mess up. He wants you to say words that you know are wrong. You've heard the old saying, familiarity breeds contempt. But that's not true when it comes to foul language. If you say it enough times, you know what happens? Or you hear it enough times? It becomes normal. It becomes normal for you. And I remember when I worked at Champ, when I first heard those words, those F words and these H words and these S words, and I could go on and on. After a while, I got used to it. And after a while, when things didn't go good and I was having a bad night, you know what? I let one of those words slip. I confess that. I let one of those words slip and I said, oop, I don't believe I said that. And the next time it became easier and easier and easier. And when I hit my hand with the hammer, I don't say ouch all the time. You know what I'm talking about? It's because I heard other people say it so many times that I got used to hearing it. So it was easy for me to say, just like it was easy for them to say. But I want you to be mindful of Ephesians 4, what Paul says here in verse 29. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up in accordance to their needs, that it may be beneficial to those who are listening. Excuse me. This is beneficial for adults as well. We need to watch what we say. We need to watch the people we hang out with. Do you think people that you hang out with influence what you say? Yeah. And I tell my kids all the time, get some new friends. Get friends that don't talk foul language. Exodus 20 says, thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain, for the Lord will not hold that person guiltless that has taken his name in vain. And one of the things that I still hate to this very day is when someone says, God damn. Does that bother anybody? Or they'll say this, Jesus Christ. And no, it's not God damn. It's just Jesus Christ. But you know what? Same thing. You are taking the Lord's name in vain. Sometime this summer, if I get the chance, I want to preach a sermon series on the Ten Commandments. You'd be surprised how far we can dig in that study of the Ten Commandments. But one of those is, thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. If you say, oh my God, you're taking the Lord's name in vain. Now, you don't want to listen to this, but it's true. If you say, oh my gosh, do you know that is a derivative of God? You're basically saying, oh my God. How many of you struggle with that? We all have from time to time. So be careful in what you say. Be careful the words that come out of your mouth. God this, or Jesus that, or gosh this, or gosh that. Because when you do that, you're taking the Lord's name in vain. And not only that, do you know who's listening? Kids. And I've heard this before. You said it, Dad. I know I said it, but don't listen to what I said. It's easier said than done. Young people, I want to encourage you today, no matter what your age, watch what you say. Be careful the Christian, non-Christian music that you listen to. Well, you say, it's just music. No, it's not. Number one, you've supported the person that wrote that filth. Number two, you're listening enough, it becomes part of your language, becomes part of your music. And I don't care what the beat is. If the lyrics aren't good, don't listen to it. Amen? Don't listen to it. Take that CD or that DVD, that movie or what it is, and take it out there to the trash and burn it. You say, well, I paid money for that. Yeah, I don't care. I'm more concerned about you praising the Lord than listening to trash on the radio. Amen? Young people, watch your speech. Secondly, Paul says, watch your life. Watch the way you live. Now, what's he mean when he says, be careful how you live? What's he talking about when he's saying, set an example for those around you? Here's what he means. Write it inside of your Bible. Don't be hypocritical. Don't be hypocritical. Don't wear a mask at church and then take the mask off or vice versa. If you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to call yourself a believing Christian in Jesus Christ, don't act one way on Sunday morning as you come and worship here, as you take the Lord's Supper, as you listen to the sermon. And then on Monday or Tuesday, or especially on Friday and Saturday, you become someone else. And that's exactly what Paul is telling Timothy. Be consistent in your walk with Christ. Let people see Christ in you and not the world. 1 Peter 2:12 says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. I have people that I went to high school with that I was not friends with in high school. But you know what? On Facebook, they're befriending me. I'm thinking, you didn't even like me in high school. As a matter of fact, I didn't even like you. And now they want to be friends in high school. You want to know why? Because they saw that I was a Christian in high school. They saw that I tried to live the Christian life in high school. And now they want to be a part of that. They want to know a little more about that. In 1 Timothy 4:15 through 16, Paul says, be diligent in these matters, give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save not only yourself, but also your hearers. Let me ask you something this morning, young people. When others see you at school, when they see you at work, when they see you on the football field or the basketball court, do they see Jesus Christ in you, or do they see something else? Beginning today, watch your life, watch your doctrine, and watch the example that you're setting for the people around you. Number three, Paul says, be an example in your love and your sensitivity. In other words, don't just hang out with the people that are easy to hang out with. Don't just hang out with the in crowd. Hang out with some of the out crowd a little bit. Learn to accept the nerd, the person that's backward, the person that drives you crazy maybe. Jesus said in Matthew 25:40, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the least of one of these, you also did for me. Last week I told you that I have been interacting with an inmate. He made a poor choice, and he will never see the light of day again because of his choice. Now, it would be easy for me to ignore him, would it not? It would be easy for me to ignore him and to go to someone else. But he has reached out to me, and I have reached out to him. And we have been friends before he made this bad decision, and we'll be friends after this bad decision, because I want you to know that Jesus Christ accepts the sinner. Jesus Christ wants everyone to come to repentance. And I want you to know, even though he may not see the light of day from those jail cells again, he can be forgiven. Amen. He can spend eternity with Christ someday if he does what Christ has called him to do. In Romans 12, 9, Paul says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. This week, kids, adults too, do me a favor. Search out that person that you see riding down the sidewalk or walking, and you know they're down and out. Buy them a drink. Send them a sandwich from McDonald's if they don't get sick. Or ask them if there's something they need. And I want you to know that Christ takes notice of that. Do you believe that? He takes notice. What's your life? Fourth, Paul says, set an example in your faith and your allegiance. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy, turn back a little bit, keep the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you may fight the good fight, holding on to the faith and a good conscience, because some have rejected these and have shipwrecked their faith. I can't begin to tell you how many people that I know that were once active in the church. They were once some of the strongest Christians I know. You know where they're at today? They don't go to church. They don't have anything to do with God's Word. They don't take communion no more. They don't tithe anymore. They don't have anything to do in the Christian life. They have squandered their faith. They have slipped away. They have shipwrecked whatever they had. Now, before you pass judgment, I want you to know that's easy to do. Because of situations that happen in our life, when trouble comes, the Bible already promises, John 16:33, in this world you'll have what? You're going to have trouble, tribulations. But because of the problems that have happened in their life, because maybe the loss of a loved one, they've said, I'm going to shipwreck my faith. I'm not going to have anything to do with God. But you know what? When Jesus was hanging on the cross, when Jesus died for every one of our sins, God could have took him down. Could have took him down. You believe that? Yeah, he could have called 10,000 angels. He could have done that. But God lost his one and only son for you and for me because of the love that was inside of him. So when the next time you think you're having problems, you think about what Jesus did for you. And I think you'll find that your problems aren't quite as big as what you think they are. But it's easy to throw in the towel. But here's two things I want you to remember about throwing in the towel. Number one, it won't make you happy. It won't make you happy. Turning your back on Jesus Christ will not make you happy. And number two, you can lose your soul. You can lose your salvation. You can lose the fact that what Jesus did for you is all shipwrecked because you turned your back on God. Don't you ever do that. And no matter what's going on in your life, you keep your eyes focused on the Lord. Amen. Because he went through some of the same things that you did. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be people of courage, be strong, and do everything in love. Young people, you learn to stand up for your faith. And when you're tempted to leave your faith, you turn and you run from those temptations. And you put your faith back in Christ. You run to him and run away from some of the friends that have caused you to fall away from grace. Number five, fifth and finally, Paul says, set an example in your purity. And I also added the word abstinence. I'll get to that in just a little bit. But this is one of the toughest situations, the toughest temptations that our young people face today. Because it seems like everywhere they turn, everywhere they look, there it is. Sexual temptation. Mark Twain once said, when your child turns 11 years old, put him in a 55-gallon bucket and drill a hole in the side so he can breathe. And then when he turns 15, seal up the hole. Some people feel that way. I guess you heard about the boy and the girl who went on their very first date. After they had eaten supper and caught a movie, on their way home, the boy says, well, you want to jump in the back seat? And she goes, nope, I'd rather stay up here with you. 1 Corinthians 6:18, Paul says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits outside the body, but those who sin sexually sin against their own body. A couple months ago, we got a chance to go down to Destin Beach, and our favorite spot is St. Pete Beach. Anybody ever been there, St. Petersburg? That's our favorite spot. The sand's beautiful, the water's beautiful, and You know, it's amazing the clothes that people do not wear to the beach. And when we got back home, Ching said, well, maybe we should go further north, maybe to Maine or something like that. And I said, yeah, we'll go up there. But do you remember when women used to wear bathing suits all the way down to their ankles? I'm old enough to remember that. And now they wear nothing at all. It's amazing. But in all seriousness, parents, if you have teenagers who are pushing the envelope a bit in their dress attire, you need to grip it right now. You need to get a hold of it. Watch what your kids wear. Keep track of the places they go and see who they're hanging out with. Because if they're not careful, they'll become just like them. Don't be naive. In 1 Timothy 2, 9 through 10, Paul says women are to dress modestly, with decency and propriety, not with braided hair, gold pearls, or expensive clothes, but with good deeds, appropriate for women who profess to worship God. Now, that doesn't mean that you girls have to wear dresses all the way down to your ankles. Amen? Doesn't mean that at all. It's not what he's saying. There's a church in Mount Carmel that they won't even hardly let you in there unless you have a dress down to here. It's like, it's crazy. It's not what Paul's saying here. He's saying dress modestly and decently. You can wear them down here. But you know what I'm talking about. They were having trouble at Corinth in the worship service. Women were dressing skimpily. They were designing their hair so the boys would get distracted. And the boys were wearing clothes that were distracted to the women. And Paul says, will you guys stop doing this? And he addresses it. And he wasn't afraid to address it. Very early on in my ministry, we had a lady that she dressed very provocatively. And as a young minister, I didn't say a word. I didn't know what to say. What do you say? Come here, can I talk to you? I didn't say a word. But I know it was a distraction for the people in the church. It was. And if it's a distraction for adults, don't you think maybe it's a distraction for young people? It is. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, Paul says, flee the evil desires of your youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. If you back up to 1 Timothy 6, verses 11 through 12, he says, flee all these desires and pursue righteousness, godliness, faithfulness, love, endurance, and gentleness, almost the fruits of the Spirit. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you had made that good confession of faith in the presence of many witnesses. Young men and young women, beginning today, you keep your purity and you keep your abstinence, and whatever you have to do that, you do that. When I was young, they used to have purity rings. You remember that? The ladies would wear purity rings or purity necklaces. And they would hold each other accountable, and they put the purity rings and the purity necklaces on. And on Sunday, they would encourage each other. Each Sunday, you stay pure, you stay true. Do what you've been called to do as a Christian. Don't mess up. And parents, this is for you. Don't be naive in allowing your son and their girlfriend to go into a dark place by themselves. Or if they're young and just starting the dating process, don't send them out in a car by themselves. Make them go double date. Or go with them. I don't plan on doing that. But I think it would be neat that couples stay together and the temptation would be far less. And be mindful of the clothes they wear. And if you have to, be mindful of what's being said and what's being watched on their cell phone by tapping into some of these new programs they have. I heard about a girl who was just started dating, and her parents told her, you make sure that you're home by 10 o'clock. And the daughter said, 10 o'clock? Mom and Dad, don't you trust me? You know what they said? No. Well, I'm at that age where my kids are getting close to dating. Do I trust them? No. Is Ching and I going to take necessary provisions to do what we can to keep those temptations at a minimum? Yes. I want you to know something. Maybe you have kids or grandkids right now that they've already blown it. They can't redo it. They can't get a mulligan, and they can't go back. But I'll tell you what they can do. They can stop. they can stop sinning right now. Hebrews 10:26 says, if you deliberately keep on sinning after you have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and raging fire. Young people, I want you to know today that there is a war going on right now as I speak between the forces of good and the forces of evil. The forces of good represent God and His angels, and the forces of evil represent the devil and his fallen angels as well. And you may not believe this, but you're wrong. Satan wants to do everything in his power to get you to fail. He's going to do everything in his power to get you to fall away from the faith, to give in to the temptations of the world. And don't you do that. Don't you let him do that. You choose today whom you will serve. Either you serve God or you serve the devil, but there's no middle ground, amen? There's no middle ground. As we come to our time of invitation, we're going to have a couple baptisms today. Yay! Everybody say yay! And the invitation is for people that's never been baptized. And I'm looking forward to that. But you know what? The invitation is not just for them. I believe the invitation is also for parents, don't you? I believe the invitation is for parents to come down here and say, I have a kid that is 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, and I just want the church to pray for me because I'm having a rough time in being a parent to these kids. Maybe you're here this morning, listen, and you're already a Christian and you've blown it. We serve a God of U-turns. We serve a God that says, no, you can't take back what you've done, but I sure can forgive you. And I sure can make it right. And you can leave this building today purified, because you have decided today, I will serve God, not the devil. I will give him my faith and my allegiance, and I will not turn from the Lord my God no matter what. I will give him my faith and allegiance today, and what I've done in the past, I'm going to stop doing today. Let's pray. Father God, this is a hard sermon, but I'm concerned about these kids, and I love these kids, and I know they're the future of the church. Lord, they're the future of heaven if they keep their eye on the prize. Lord, help them be faithful in every aspect of their life. And Lord, they know when they mess up. We know when we mess up. Lord, help us to stop messing up. Lord, help us to be mindful of Romans chapter 6, that we cannot go on sinning so that grace may abound. Lord, help us realize that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we need to make a decision to turn our back on sin and focus on what is right. Lord, I pray for each and every young person in this room. Lord, I pray you'll help them to realize that the gate is narrow and there's few people that's going to enter into it. Lord, I want them to be a part of that gate. Lord, I want every person in this room to be a part of that narrow gate. As tempting and tough as the outside world is, Lord, we realize that being faithful to you, it will be worth it when we stand before you and we hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. It's in Christ's name we pray.